The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you this afternoon. It is a somber day as we continue to get reports from this very horrific crash, this Wichita, Kansas American Airlines flight that was impacted by a Black Hawk that was flying an annual training flight. And the collision last night was terrible, and it appears as though all are deceased from that. So we're sending our prayers to the families of those who are impacted directly by this, and making sure that we can get some answers and potentially solutions quickly put in place to try to avoid this from happening again. I flew out of DCA last July, and I was amazed at, I guess it's, what is it, it's DCA, but it, what is the, is it just Reagan National Airport? It's something else.
Reagan. Washington International Airport.
Okay, so Reagan International is what they generally call it. I flew last May into Baltimore and out of Baltimore to go to DC with my son's class. And then last year when my husband and I went on a long weekend, we flew into Pittsburgh and then drove to DC and flew out of Reagan. And it was so convenient to be downtown DC. We didn't have a car while we were in the DC area. Everything was public transportation, but to be able to get to Reagan and fly out, it was just such a simple thing. And that airport is tiny. You go through this little snake of TSA or whatever, and then you go through a corridor, and then you're in this massive hub, and the gates are just in a circle. There's like a bar restaurant type of thing in the middle. And I don't know, in my head I'm thinking there might be 10 gates maybe, but they're just kind of in a circle there, and I was shocked at how small it was.
Is that the main airport for Washington, D.C.?
There are a lot of ones that service the D.C. area, but that's the one that's right in the middle.
Huh.
And it was quaint. It was not, I mean, I was kind of surprised that that's the way it was set up. I'm pretty sure that I saw the majority of it, but it's considered the busiest airspace, certainly in the country, and they have the shortest runway. They have one main runway, and then they have two additional runways that are used for like helicopters, and I think they like some smaller private planes that might land there. But the region is so complicated because there's so much no-fly zone and controlled airspace for obvious reasons. But another thing that I learned in the trip that I took specifically with the eighth grade class, because we had a tour guide for that, was the helicopter traffic that you see in Washington, D.C. It's really kind of wild because people go from the Pentagon to the Capitol or wherever they need to be. Those people are flying in helicopters from point A to point B because they're not going through D.C. traffic. Mm-hmm. That's not the way that works. So, you know, if the president is going to participate in a motorcade, D.C. just shuts down in a certain particular way for a certain particular amount of time. If you're there a lot, you realize that if the president is going to go somewhere, all of a sudden certain helicopters, Secret Service helicopters, are going to fly over. They're checking everything out. And they're doing that ahead of schedule so that the motorcade can happen. And then throughout the course of the processional, that's how that operates. But if they're also, if they're, you know, five-star generals that are going from place to place, there are just certain ways that the security operates in Washington, D.C. that is very different than what we ever experience
sure.
here. So I understand. I think I have a 20% understanding of how something like this could happen. And before I went to D.C. twice last year, I would have had a 0% chance. I would say, how in the world does a Black Hawk helicopter fly into a commercial airliner? I'm grateful for the experience, and it's simply anecdotal. but the amount of air traffic and the complication of air traffic that takes place in D.C. makes this a situation where there is a lot of alternative complications and context that is just not what we're used to.
That's good to know, because that's not something I've never flown into Washington, D.C. at all. I took a train into D.C. for one day for some business, and that's it. So I haven't really seen it at all. But just for context, that's all the stuff that I've been reading makes more sense now based on your description of it. Because they were talking about the short runway and stuff, and you're like, well, why does it have a short runway?
It's just no space.
It's just small.
The Potomac is right there. It's right by the water. D.C. is so full. And I mean, the airport is right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to talk a little bit about our scholarship, because we are doing well, but we are not there yet. And I haven't mentioned it at all in the first hour. Shame on me. We're trying to raise $3,000 every day, which is kind of a tall order. It's a very tall order, but I am happy to say that at the beginning of the show today, we had, let me get my text message out, $9,184 raised.
Oh, so that's right on track.
So we're on
track.
That's great. But
okay.
But I just missed an hour of talking about it because we were talking about other things that are important. But we are, today's goal would be $12,000. That's a lot. And I don't know if we're going to get to that today, but tomorrow, we're celebrating National Lutheran Schools Week this week because it is National School Choice Week. And so National Lutheran Schools Week is this week. From my understanding, National Catholic Schools Week is also this week. So a lot of different kinds of I guess, non-public schools have merged together during this week to highlight what they have to offer people. And that was one of my favorite messages that I read at the end of the show yesterday was, hey, we're strong, we're good, strong Catholics, but today, yay Lutherans. It's like, oh, look at what we're doing. We're bringing people together. If you want to help us out, we're trying to raise $15,000. If you haven't heard me talking about this yet, let me give you the lay of the land. If you have, thank you for sticking with us while we continue to push this and march hopefully towards our goal. We are trying to raise $15,000 for an Annie Freishow Lutheran School Scholarship. So all of this money goes into this scholarship specifically, and the money that comes out of this scholarship will help St. Louis kids attend a Lutheran school in Missouri and Illinois. The listening area of 97.1, those Lutheran schools, we've got like 37, I think, Lutheran schools in the area. I think there are four, maybe five high schools. And there are a bunch of elementary schools that are part of the Lutheran Elementary School Association, LESA, LESA. They came to me with this opportunity to do this. And I believe very strongly in school choice. I think that you should have the ability, that money that you're paying into your property taxes. And in the state of Illinois, I know it's an enormous amount. And in the state of Missouri, I bet they'd like it to be less. The amount of money that you're paying into your property taxes, I think in Illinois, I think it's like 75, maybe 80% of that money goes to education. It's an enormous amount of money. And I wish that the money that I was paying into my property taxes would follow my child, because if I'm going to pay to educate children in the community, why should my child not be allowed to benefit from that wherever they go to school? Because isn't the point to educate children? So why is it that if there is a school that I believe is right for my child, whether it's a Lutheran school or a Catholic school or a non-denomination school, like, why is it that my child shouldn't be able to benefit from the property taxes that I am paying? Now, in that same regard, I'm not saying when my children no longer go to school anymore that I shouldn't have to pay property taxes to invest in an educated public. I do think property taxes should be lower, and I do believe that education spending should be smarter. But why, how can anybody make the case to me that my children shouldn't benefit from my tax dollars that are going into the education system? I don't know how anybody can make a rational argument against that.
Well, when people try to, it's just like a lot of Capitol Hill arguments lately. Mm-hmm. They don't really go very far. And the other thing is that they're up against the public itself. The public, regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, supports school choice. I mean, across the board. So, yes, there are those who are tied into the system, who are trying to protect the system. But ultimately, the argument you're making is one that people agree with.
And people will say that, you know, if the school that you're sending your child to is including a religious affiliation to it, public tax dollars shouldn't go to fund what they will often just tail into religious indoctrination. But those are my, that's my money. You're telling me that the money that comes out of my pocket shouldn't go to my child's education in the way that I believe is best for my children that I carried in my womb and delivered into this world, that your thoughts on my money and how it educates and how my children are educated, that you have a better knowledge of that dollar? I'm not talking about this. This is not the same conversation as eliminate the Department of Education. That's a different conversation. I would be willing to have that conversation. But when it comes to school choice, like, for instance, Andy says you have the choice to send your kids to a public school, right? No, I don't have a choice. I do not have a choice to pay any of the tax dollars that I have. The choice that I have is to put them in a system that benefits because the tax dollars are there, but doesn't benefit my kids in the way I think that they are best educated. So the priority there is to preserve the money out of my pocket, not the best education for my kids. And if that's the system that we have set up, if we're not doing what is best for our children, and who knows what's best for our children more than the people who brought them into this world? It's incredibly egotistical for a system to be set up to preserve money that is taken, stolen out of my pocket because it does not benefit me as a taxpayer in my family. If I want to send my children to a private school, a parochial school, to homeschool them, how is it that you can still lay claim while I'm taking my child out of a classroom that will be just a little bit less crowded because my children are going somewhere else? Why is it that my children should not have access to the money that I'm spending on my taxes? I don't understand it at all. And I'm not, I don't care if it's, I mean, the school that I send my children to, these Lutheran schools are accredited Lutheran schools. They're accredited schools. Their great sin, according to the government, ironically, is that they teach about Jesus, which is an investment I'm willing to make every day of the week. Which is why we are working and partnering with the Lutheran Elementary School Association, because there are people who want that more than anything for their children. But the idea of paying those high property taxes in the state of Illinois, coupled with the idea of tuition, because there's no subsidies for children to go to a school outside of the public education system because they're captive and hostages in that system. Don't upset the status quo there. In order to have those children go to that Christian school, the government gets to say, nope, not helping there. Then why the heck don't you follow the Hyde Amendment, where it says no tax dollars are supposed to go to abortion, but then you send $500 million to Planned Parenthood, and they say, oh, well, we don't use the tax dollars for abortion. We do it for birth control. Well, guess what? I don't want my property tax dollars that go into the public education system. I want them to ship on over to the Lutheran school that I send them. I want complete and total credit for the educational portion of my property taxes, and we'll use those property taxes to teach them math and science, and we'll take care of the religion part ourselves. In fact, we'll do that for free. You can't have it both ways unless you've got people who are not willing to fight the fight for it. And I'm married to a public school educator. I value a public education for children who choose that. I think that we need great teachers to teach students of all different walks of life. But I think that if a child is going to be in my husband's classroom or in any other public school classroom, their parents should want them to be specifically in that classroom. No child should ever be in a classroom because the family had no other choice. That's the only place they could send them. What kind of educational system is that? Certainly not one that's set up to benefit the child and what's best for them to thrive. So we would like to raise money for a scholarship.
Do I
make a good point?
You make a good point. And just if you happen to be a lawmaker listening, this subject of...
Especially a Democrat.
Public money going to religious schools has actually already been decided in 2022. The Supreme Court ruled in Carson versus Macon. This was Maine, actually, was trying to do this. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't. That that the 6-3 ruling prohibited Maine from discriminating against public dollars going to religious schools, which is really in the wake of that is when the school choice movement really started to move. So
yesterday,
all that said,
Trump signed an executive order on school choice. I think we're going to talk about that in the 2 o'clock hour a little bit. Here's what I would like. I would like, it would really need to be from the state, but I would like a full tax credit for my tuition dollars up to the amount that I am paying in property taxes that goes into the education system. While my children are enrolled in an accredited school, I want a tax credit for that.
Granted.
No issues with that.
No, yeah, that's a great plan.
From what I understand, and from what I was seeing with Corey DeAngelis talking about last night on his X account, that those tax credits can go through Congress and are managed by the IRS and not the Department of Education, and therefore would potentially be outside of the purview of the areas where the teachers' unions have the most
Somebody
grasp.
Get Billy Long on the phone.
Billy!
Billy Long, are you listening?
Billy! Billy.
You love Missouri, my friend, don't you?
So that rant was sponsored by the Lutheran Elementary School Association. They might not be. I don't know. They might be cheering or they might be going, Annie, calm down.
These things are taking time. Like you've said before, I would love to see this happen in my lifetime for my kids. Will it happen for my kids?
I want it for
my
grandkids.
We don't know. Like these things, actually, the suggestion you just made, that could happen really fast. Hopefully that does happen.
LESASTL.org/Annie.
Yeah.
Give me a dollar if you agree with me. If I were Billy Long, I would auction it off right now, but I can't.
He's also good at that. 500, you know what? We missed the whole first hour. So we need to ask a couple people if they could do 500.
Yeah.
Maybe you,
we need
you could
big dollars
because
I screwed it up.
Yeah, so help Annie out here. It's a good cause. It's a great cause that's close to all of our hearts. You're investing in kids right here in St. Louis, getting a Lutheran education based on Jesus Christ. I can't think of a much better cause to be a part of.
Will you put on lipstick by the end of the show if we get to $15,000?
I got a challenge for you. I'll put on lipstick by the end of the show if we get to the full
15.
Follow me here. Get to the full 15 tomorrow.
You'll wear lipstick?
No, yes, but I will. I'll offer to cut your hair.
What?
Let me.
What?
Let me give you a haircut, and I'll wear lipstick. Fair.
$15,000 by the end of the show, and you're going to cut my hair, and you're going to wear lipstick?
Yeah, sure.
That's like 50%.
Or $15,000 at all. I really don't care.
I got to think about that one. We're going to take a quick break here. Chairman Jason Smith is going to be with us when we come back. He's Missouri's 8th District Representative. We're going to take a super quick break and get the congressman on here in just a minute. Don't go away.
Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
Well, I think we're all excited to be in the same room. We're all excited to make the tax cuts permanent. All the Republicans virtually in 2017 voted for these tax cuts. Right. It was a huge boon to the economy.
Well, it's nice to hear that Congress is focused on the campaign promises that they made. That was a January 8th clip from Senator Rand Paul. But we want to make sure that this Congress, the House, with a razor-thin majority, is on task. So we go to one of our local congressmen, Jason Smith, Missouri's 8th District Representative. Congressman, thank you for being with us here today. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's always great to be with you, Annie.
Thank you. I want to ask you how you're feeling right now in Congress, in the House of Representatives, the ability to cut spending. We're seeing a lot of actions on trying to pull back on unnecessary and wasteful spending, but also the forward-looking goals that you have to make sure the Trump tax cuts get taken care of and that we are resourceful with the taxpayer dollar.
First off, Annie, I like to remind my colleagues all the time that the only reason why Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate is because of Donald Trump and the successful policies of Donald Trump that he campaigned on. And now it's the duty of Congress to deliver on those policies. And those policies are his economic policies, making permanent the expiring provisions of his successful Trump tax cuts. No tax on tips, tax relief for seniors, overtime pay. Everyone heard what the president campaigned on it. We need to deliver on that. We also need to deliver on securing the border and making sure that we're providing the the opportunity for our country to become energy independent. And we also need to cut some spending, like not just some, a lot of spending. However, it's a very razor-thin majority. We're going to have to thread the needle, but everyone's going to have to give to make sure we deliver for the American people.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Chairman Jason Smith. You were the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, and a little research here says that's the oldest tax-writing body in the United States House of Representatives, and you shape fiscal legislation, including taxes, tariffs, and social service programs. What kind of important role are you playing, and is this committee playing, in ensuring that the American people get what they voted for?
So everything comes through our committee. A lot of people don't know that the Ways and Means Committee is the oldest committee of all committees in Congress. It's also the most powerful. All of the revenues that come into the country are under the jurisdiction of our committee. So you're talking about $5 trillion that come in. There cannot be any, according to the U.S. Constitution, a tax increase or any kind of tax policy cannot originate from anywhere but the Ways and Means Committee. It cannot even originate in the Senate. So it has to come from us. All trade policy is within the Ways and Means Committee, and the president talks a lot about trade and tariffs and trade agreements and de minimis. All of Social Security is in the Ways and Means Committee, and half of Medicare and a lot of different welfare programs. So when I say it is the most powerful, it's the one that affects the lives of every single American.
Well, how are you going to ensure that spending cuts can be made, that we can watch, you know, DOGE? I don't know what your interlocking relationship is with the DOGE initiative with this administration, that we're going to actually see less spending from our government, which is something that I think was kind of an extra treat that was added to the Republican mission in the campaign. There are a lot of things that needed to get back on track, but it was nice to see people start talking about spending less once again.
Okay, let me get to an economic point of view. If you look at the last 50 years, the revenues that has came into the United States averages roughly around 17% of the GDP. And then if you look at spending over the last, you know, like 5 years, it's 26% of GDP. Think about that. 17% of revenues of GDP, 26% of GDP. However, the 20 years before that, it averaged about 20%. That's where it was for a long time. So in the last 5 years, happens to be the Biden administration, you saw spending jump to record levels, 20 to 26. So we have to cut spending. And there is money that can be cut without touching the benefits of Social Security and Medicare. The president has made it clear that he will protect the benefits for Social Security and Medicare. We're not going to touch that. But there's a lot of other efficiencies in government where we can save money. For example, think about this. Of the 2 million workers, of federal workers, 6% actually show up to work, 94% work at home. That's unacceptable. And the president has set out a priority saying if you don't show up to work, you lose your job. Maybe the size of government is way too big. I think we all know the answer to that.
Yeah.
And it's yes.
Yeah. We're speaking with Congressman Jason Smith, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. When we saw the president, he paused some grants, some federal grants and funding. It caused everybody to go into a panic. We heard Chuck Schumer make a really weird comment yesterday about how everybody on Capitol Hill, I'll change the word, was really excited about what they were seeing, the reaction to the confusion that has set in about what Donald Trump is trying to do to really get his hands around how much spending is going where that is unnecessary. What are your thoughts on the Trump administration's methods and willingness to take action to try to find out all this wasteful spending?
I'll tell you right now, in the first 100 hours of the Trump presidency, he did more than the first 100 days of the Joe Biden presidency, because he's actually delivering for America and he's making sure America is first at every angle. I would go after leader Schumer and say, stop your deceiving moves to slow walking the president's appointees. Maybe if you would allow his director of OMB to be confirmed, you wouldn't have to worry about some issues. But besides that, the impoundment of funds, freezing spending to make sure that it falls in line with federal law, such as the Hatch Act saying no federal dollars can go to support abortion. That's what the law is, and that's what Trump is making sure does not happen. One example, he's making sure that federal dollars is not going to DEI within the woke form of government that Joe Biden created. And these are things that are very real. He said it's not going to affect benefits for people in Social Security, Medicare, but it's time to start freezing this crazy spending that's going out the door.
Yeah, it is. Congressman Jason Smith speaking with us right now. Before I let you go, we know that you have a budget that you need to put forward. People would like to see it be balanced. People would like to see the wasteful spending go away. President Trump talks about a big, beautiful bill. What are your thoughts there as a leader on the Republican side of the House with a very narrow majority on the Republicans' ability to get this job done?
So I completely agree with the president that we need one big, beautiful bill. That bill needs to have spending cuts, substantial spending cuts. It also needs to have permanency of his expiring provisions of the tax cuts. If it does not, every single taxpayer will face, on average, a 22% increase on their taxes whenever they've already had the inflation tax of 21% over the last 4 years of the Biden administration. That we need to make sure we pass the legislation to completely secure our border, to do things that the president is not able to do by executive order. We need to deliver on it. We're going to have to thread that needle, but we can do it. The American people are counting on us to do it. Failure is not an option, Annie.
Congressman, do you believe that you have Democrats who believe in the extension of the permanency of these Trump tax cuts and the security of the border the way the Republicans are proposing? Will you get any bipartisan support?
I think after we have enough votes to pass it, you'll see some of their vulnerable members vote for it. That's how they always operate. They won't be the vote that puts it over the finish line, but they'll be the vote, oh, wait, it passed, so it doesn't matter. I can vote for it now.
Oh, man.
There'll be a handful of those, and those are the people that will try to paint back home that they're a moderate, but in fact, they're lockstep and key with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, I'm looking at Nikki Budzinski. She's my rep, and she does a lot of votes like that. Congressman, is Donald Trump the leader behind this? Is the Republican Party looking to him to lead, and are they willing to follow his lead?
Annie, we would not be controlling the House of Representatives or the Senate or the White House if it wasn't for Donald Trump's leadership. If my colleagues think otherwise, then I got some oceanfront property in the Ozarks to sell them, because that is not the case. He's the leader of this party, and he's the reason that we have the opportunity to take this country back and put in the right direction.
Ugh, way to bring that phrase home, Congressman. That was good. I like that. I was all ready for Arizona, and shucks, that's why you're in Congress. That's, you know how to do that. Well, I hope your colleagues understand that as well as you certainly do, because I think you are spot on in that assessment. And I think the Republican Party as a whole is watching very carefully to make sure that the rest of the Republicans in the House get it just as well as you do.
You can count on me reminding them quite often. We just had our member retreat over the last 3 days at Doral. I reminded them multiple times that you're not even considering developing policy without President Trump making sure that we have control of all the chambers.
Yes. Amen to that. Congressman Smith, we are very grateful for your time today. We appreciate you. Thanks for coming on with us. We look forward to having you back.
Take care, Annie.
Yep, you as well. Bye-bye. Congressman Jason Smith, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Missouri's 8th District Representative there. It's good to have him on the show. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got a little bit of an update on the fundraiser. When we come back, Lisa, STL.org/Annie. Today is favorite shirt day. And I was very happy to see somebody gave me a compliment on how I look today. And we're going to talk about this when we come back, because it was a very nice, kind gentleman, I assume, on the Annie Fry Show. And he goes, how do I say that Annie looks nice today without implying that she doesn't look nice on the other days? And I thought, that's a well thought out compliment. And when men say, oh, you look really nice today, and women go, well, what about all the other days? Men stop giving compliments, right? So thank you for that compliment. And I think it's because I'm wearing my favorite shirt. We'll talk about our favorite shirts in the 2 o'clock hour. It is Spirit Week on the Annie Fry Show. We are raising funds to get to that $15,000 mark. It's a very, very tall order, but I think together we can do it. LESASTL.org/Annie. We're getting very close to, we're in the 9,000s, and I'm not 100% sure where the total is right now. I'll give you an update when we come back. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show. LESASTL.org/Annie to donate. We'll be right back.
Jason Aldean tickets. No, don't call now. We're going to give them away very soon, though. I'm just giving you a heads up that that's coming up pretty soon. YouTube live chat poll.
We had a meeting today about how to do great radio, and they taught us how to do a tease just like that.
They said...
It's coming up soon. Very soon. Not going to tell you when, but...
And so that's why I did that.
In the future.
Yeah.
Just make sure you cut this for Steve.
I was just trying to do what they told me to do. They're like, Ryan, you're too specific.
Forget about that appointment listening stuff. What if I said it like 1:56?
That's too specific.
Okay, well, I won't say it then.
Yeah, don't say that, because that might not happen anyway.
If it doesn't happen, it's because we forgot.
Now you know what's going through my head.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the end of this next segment look like? If we remember, that's when it'll be. I'll just be very transparent
it'll be
with you.
Soon.
It'll be soon, right? So that covers it all. The YouTube live chat poll today, by the way, is who were you in high school? Cool, nerd, shy, loner, clown. Which one were you in high school? I'm sure we will discuss this poll a little bit more soon. 1:44, this time check is sponsored by Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning.
It's time for a $98 furnace tune-up.
Let's show our appreciation for local heroes. Mark Cox here. Nominate a first responder and their department could get lunch from Grillmaster Tony's. I'll personally deliver it. Share their story at 971talk.com. Nominate them today.
Feeling my way through the darkness.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up.
If you were going to guess how to say this name, how would you have said it? You, Brad, you're the one who brought it up.
Oh. Well, I would have looked at this because it's A-V-I-C-I-I, and I would have said Avisi.
Mm-hmm. I would have said Odyssey. I would have looked at that and I would have said Buena Vista.
What?
Kissimmee.
Will somebody call us and tell us to do the giveaway at 1:56?
If you're the first caller,
call us on the hotline
at 314-241-9797. You can do the honors of reminding us to give the tickets away.
Yeah. You'd be the first caller to tell us to do it, and we'll give them away to the eighth caller.
Yeah.
So Ethan calling in.
Have hot fingers.
It's nice that we get to give away Jason Aldean tickets, though. That's a pretty cool get.
Yes, it is.
Today's Spirit Week, this is Spirit Week, and today is Favorite Shirt Day, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the 2 o'clock hour, but the Lutheran Elementary School Association National Lutheran Schools Week fundraiser is moving right along, and I'm excited to announce we got another donation from Branicky Hardware, and they're strong supporters of Lutheran education. So thank you to Branicky Hardware.
Hooray.
Keep them coming. LESASTL.org/Annie. $15,000 by the end of tomorrow's show, and Ryan's wearing lipstick. I don't know why. I almost wonder if that's a hindrance. I don't really want you to wear lipstick.
No, I don't either. And also, it feels like you're calling me a pig, you know, based on that idiom that people always use. Oh, you can put lipstick on a pig, but he's still a pig, even if he's super attractive and the co-host of the show.
I've never heard that idiom. It's not strike a chord.
No, I hear that a lot. But I will do it.
Do you ever wonder why you hear it a lot?
Well, I kind of latch on to the part where people are saying, even though he's, like everything after that clause, I'm like, oh yeah, I listen to that. I don't like the pig part. It's just weird when people walk up to you and they call you a pig. I take offense.
I've never had that happen. I think most people just refer to me that way behind my back.
Yeah, I was in a restaurant the other day, and a lady goes, "You are a pig." And I was like, really? But I'm attractive too, right? And she was like, no.
Sounds like a bad day.
It's just super hard to compliment somebody anymore.
It is, right? It's like...
I mentioned that Chris earlier on the show said, how do I tell Annie that she looks good today without making it sound like she doesn't look good on other days?
I would say don't worry about
and
it.
And I have two thoughts there. One is, it's interesting that he had that thought and was willing to share it. And two, do men feel super screwed when it comes to giving compliments to women? And then let me also, just as a caveat, add in here, when it's appropriate for men, who are we talking about complimenting? Because the way you compliment your wife or a good friend or something like that, if it's across genders, and officially we only have two now, so if it's across genders and you're trying to compliment a man complimenting a woman, like, there's a difference between complimenting your friends or somebody you hang out with a lot if it's across genders, and complimenting a coworker or complimenting somebody who you're a little less familiar with. What's the thought process that goes on in your head when you think the nice thought about somebody? And it's not a weird thought. There's not like this. It's just you just think something nice about somebody. What happens between that thought and then deciding I'm going to deliver this message that I had in my brain, which would, you'd think, make somebody's day to hear said nice thing? Are men super shut down in delivering these compliments today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you still think the thoughts?
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But it's all hurdles, no gas. Like, don't ever hit the gas pedal on that. Always consider every angle.
Yeah.
That, like, you could possibly be interpreted.
You notice somebody looks lovely on a certain day or whatever, and the first question I always ask myself is how well do I know this person? Because will they take this as just what it is, as a compliment, you look lovely today? Or well, they'd be like, that's kind of weird. We barely ever talk, and that's what they say to me. So that's the first thing that I always look at.
Does it matter how well you know the person? Because I don't really ever want to be complimented because I'm uncomfortable with compliments. But it's not true that I don't want to be complimented. It's just that I'm not comfortable with compliments.
You don't know what to do with it. You don't mind getting them, but then you're like, socially speaking, I'm not sure what I say here.
My natural reaction is to do the annoying thing where you disagree with a compliment.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's not the, I mean, the intention of an honest compliment. It feels, if you say, Annie, you look really nice today, there's a part of me that if I'm like, oh, thank you, that feels like, oh, so you think you look nice today. and I don't want to be that person ever. I don't ever want to be the person who's, yeah, like my biggest cheerleader. I don't want to be that. And I also have, forged myself into not needing other people and their affirmation to feel qualified in the areas of my life where it matters, which is kind of weird because I work by ratings. Well, sort of.
It's a weird, the one aspect of that I've always thought was weird, and I don't think people intend this when they say it, is when somebody calls themselves a hot mess. I'm like, you know, you're calling yourself hot.
Actually, you're more of just a mess.
Yeah. And I don't know if they mean hot mess. I think we've discussed this before, because now I say it. I think what Brad said last time I said that was that, no, you're not saying you're hot. You're saying you are like a dog's hot mess. Like that you are just some crap.
A steaming pile.
A steaming pile. But I always interpret it the other way. But yes, complimenting a woman, especially me, I put my foot in my mouth like multiple times per hour. So I don't necessarily try it at all. Like I don't ever say anything to a woman because I know that it'll probably be interpreted poorly.
Gary says, as a 73-year-old man, I am now very cautious about complimenting any woman, especially in the last 4 years, because I don't want to go to jail for a sexist crime.
Especially in the workplace.
That's extreme.
Yeah.
But is it, I mean, it's an extreme reality, but is it reality?
Yeah, what sucks is that because 95% of the time, if you do that, it's not only fine, but people appreciate it. It's the 5% that you're like, well, if it falls within that tiny little category, then I'm really in trouble. So you just don't do it.
I wonder how many women wish that they were complimented more by men who are not their man.
It probably depends on the man, too. Because some dudes are skeezy. And some dudes are not. And it all depends on the...
As a dude...
Presentation.
As Ryan, you are not a skeezy dude.
I wouldn't think so.
That's the nicest thing I've ever said to you.
I'm going to hold on to that.
Can you... How quickly do you detect skeezy dudes?
Not as quickly as a woman, but I can detect it. It's there. If you're like real slick...
When they start hitting on you?
Well, that's one way. But you can just tell if a guy is trying to sort of sell himself to you.
We just talked about this yesterday. I don't know if it was... I don't remember the context we were talking about it. Oh, it was high school. Like, in high school, I feel like a lot of guys that are very flirtatious and trying to get girls' attention, more often than not, and I'm not even saying this is in like particularly a bad thing. I think it's a biological thing. They're most of the time trying to see if their efforts... will be responded to in a neutral to positive way. So women, or specifically girls of that age, if that happens, it's a more meaningful experience for the female, I think, than it is the male. And I think that's biology. Once you get out of that more hormonally driven time in your life and you've matured and evolved a little bit more, that's, to me, like, if when I was dating... And I dated a bit. And if I was in a bar or out with friends or whatever, I could very quickly determine if the guy was interested in me or was interested in me being interested in him.
Yeah.
And it is a very different approach.
Yep.
And I probably, I mean, I don't know. That's like the first thing I try to figure out about people is what are you trying to do here? To quote White Christmas and Bing Crosby, everybody's got an angle.
Mm. If you want to win Jason Aldean tickets...
It's not time yet.
Oh, shoot. It's too early?
Fine, go. It's your show.
If you want to win Jason Aldean tickets...
40 seconds.
Then stay tuned. No, we'll do it now. I'm just kidding. 314-241-9797.
What about the people who waited for 156? There. Like Ethan.
We told them. What? We told them we weren't sure.
What caller?
So it's on you. Caller number 7-314-241-9797.
Maybe he won't answer him until 156.
Yeah, we'll just sort of... we'll talk
what
very slowly. He's call number 7.
7?
He'll be at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
All right, now sing us a Jason Aldean song.
On July 19th, Jason Aldean sings, I was born in a small town, grew up in a small town.
Does he?
Yep.
He sings that one song he got in trouble for singing.
Yeah, it's about small towns.
That's not it, though.
I was born in a small town.
I think that's like
try that in
Bruce
a small
Springsteen
town.
Or something.
John Cougar Mellencamp.
Whatever, they're all the same. Try that in a small town.
Try yeah. that in a small town.
Yes.
No pink houses.
No.
No?
There are no pink houses. That's not it.
Okay.
This is false advertising.
Look, if Jason Aldean plays that song on July 19th, you heard it here first.
Brian, it's not that nobody listens to the
call
show.
Number 7.
But nobody who you think listens to the show listens to the show. Sometimes I don't even know if you listen to the show.
I don't know what's happening. What?
LESASTL.org/Annie. Please help us get to our goal. We'll be right back.